Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard live 7 days a week and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you important information about law news, education, medicine, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning, sugar and sugar substitutes. When we come back, stand by. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. Here's what he had to say to the New York Press Association back on February 26th, 1936. Listen to this. He said, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America. Well, unless it's in some country town. And there's not one of you who dares express an honest opinion because you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid $150 a week for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid for doing similar things. And if I should permit my honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, like Othello, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Our business is to lie outright," he said, "to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, to sell his race, and to sell his country for his daily bread. We are the tools of rich men behind the scenes. We are intellectual prostitutes," unquote. Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order, men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, Vanderbilts, Kissingers. You know, and I say it's time to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, entertaining, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call right now and order a set for yourself. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to the website? It's georgegordon.org. Click on the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about aspartame, a very toxic poison. It's used in thousands of products that you buy every day in your supermarket. It's got 92 side effects to it. We took a look at sucralose. It's not as poison. Therefore, since it's only half as poison, it must be twice as safe. That's the reasoning and the argument that's used by the makers and the users of these artificial sweeteners. We took a look at cyclamates. Now, cyclamates began back in the 1930s. I think it was 1937. They were banned about 1978 or somewhere along in there, because they were shown to be unsafe. And so what happens today is that people say, well, listen, if these artificial sweeteners were unsafe, surely the government wouldn't allow it. What we're in effect saying is, we rely upon, we believe in our government, and our government's going to protect us. Well, cyclamates were on the market for 30-some years before they were removed from the marketplace as being unsafe and causing cancer, and the government allowed cyclamates for 30 years, and now the government has allowed aspartame for 24 years, or 23 years, something on that order. Cyclamates, which caused cancer, were on the market longer than aspartame. Why would we expect the government to protect us from aspartame if they didn't protect us from cyclamates? Why would we expect the government to protect us from aspartame or any other food additive if they didn't protect us from thalidomide? You know, the list of these kinds of products that have been approved and put out in the market and then withdrawn from the marketplace after it was proven, after the guinea pigs, after the general public was used to test it, found out, well, it's no good after all. I'm not concerned about Joe Sixpack. If he wants to use himself as a guinea pig to prove whether or not aspartame, cyclamates, or sucralose is good for him, that's his business in life, not mine. My suggestion to you is, why don't you get the facts and figures and then make an informed decision? You know, it's got to have something called informed consent. Well, now let's take a look at the alternative sweeteners. I mean, if you've got artificial sweeteners, then you must have the real thing. If artificial chemicals are artificial sweeteners, then what would happen if we looked at the real sweeteners? What are real sweeteners? Well, let's say it's called sugar. And this presents the reasons for alternative sweeteners in a series of charts So do you crave sweets, is what the caption begins with. And it says, are all sugars created equal? I like white sugar. Why doesn't my body like white sugar? Can I replace refined sugar with natural sweeteners? Are there herbal options? And these and other questions may be going through your mind as you begin to read this. Sweetness and sugar have become hopelessly associated with euphoria and pleasure. Sugar causes our body systems to release feel-good endorphins, but it's not sugar or its derivatives your body wants. What it really is asking for are complex carbohydrates, which are as whole as our mother's milk. Sugar can come in two types, simple and complex. Natural sugars are almost always complex carbohydrates, and white or refined sugars, which are called simple carbohydrates. Honey is a complex, CNH cane sugar is a simple. Now, our body's digestive enzymes break these two types down to glucose, a sugar that the body uses for energy. The main difference between the two types of sugars is how fast each enters the bloodstream and how each affects insulin and blood sugar levels. Now, the following is what happens when you eat a refined sugar treat. Now, this refined sugar is a drug, just like cocaine. That's why you like it. That's why it's addictive. You have become addicted to white sugar, just like you become addicted to cocaine, heroin, or nicotine. So let's take a look at the description here. Simple sugars go almost directly into your bloodstream, giving you a temporary high. This is called an energy rush. You may be feeling good, but your high blood sugar is causing your pancreas to scream danger. This is called pancreas panic. Your pancreas dumps large amounts of insulin into your bloodstream to bring your blood sugar levels down again. And this is called the rash response. Next, the blood sugar levels swing too low, too fast, leading to the sugar blues, those feelings of fatigue and irritability. This is called the fast crash. This energy crash sets you up to go for another sugar fix in order to bring your energy back up. This is what we call going round and round. White sugar, which is a human invention, it's a manufactured product. It's an industrial commodity. And white sugar production is a notorious polluter and resource depleter. Sugarcane is a mineral-hungry plant known for depleting soils as well as people, and cane farming also requires very large amounts of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. White sugar is no friend to the earth. Now, brown sugar, simply refined sugar that is sprayed with molasses to make it appear more wholesome. And then there's turbinado sugar, just one step away from white sugar. It's made of 95% sucrose, skipping the final refining process with little difference in nutrition. And then there's high fructose corn syrup, the cheap and plentiful sweetener used often in soft drinks, candy, and baked goods. These are called refined sugars and their disguises. The long-term hazards of refined sugar look like this. Whole sugar cane is stripped of the minerals and nutritional elements that you need to properly digest to make refined sugar. Now, eating a naked carbohydrate then robs your body of its own vitamins and minerals for digestion. Over time, excessive consumption of refined sugars can lead to nutritional deficiencies and serious problems like osteoporosis and gum disease. These are called the naked carbohydrates. Now, your body cannot produce enough digestive enzymes without the right balance of minerals. And your body cannot have the right balance of minerals if the white sugar that you're consuming depletes your body of those minerals. But compensating for your sweet tooth with extra healthy foods may be a losing battle because your body is no longer digesting or assimilating the food that does contain the minerals nearly as efficiently as it would if it were not interfered with the white sugar. This is called digestive distress. Next, food allergies are often caused by poor digestion. Refined white sugar can weaken your gastrointestinal tract and lead to a leaky gut syndrome, a phenomenon where your gut allows undigested food molecules to escape into your bloodstream. Your immune system gallantly tries to protect you by releasing strong chemicals like histamines, but this unfortunately causes inflammation, also known as food allergy. So if you're wondering where these mysterious allergies are coming from, it's white sugar, also known as white death. Now, over time, a flood of white sugar will strain your pancreas, liver, and adrenal glands, the endocrine organs that help regulate your blood sugar levels, and your body may respond in one of two ways. You may develop hypoglycemia, and the symptoms of that include exhaustion, depression, irritability, vertigo, mental confusion, anxiety, headaches, and blurred vision. Now, does this describe you? Because if your blood sugar levels dip too low too fast, then less oxygen flows to your brain, and uncomfortable symptoms are then created. The second symptom, called diabetes, you may be more familiar with diabetes or hyperglycemia, a disease that strikes when a damaged pancreas can no longer produce insulin to bring blood sugar levels down. A diabetic takes insulin daily, usually by injection, to ward off this danger. This is what we refer to as the permanent panic. Now, excessive sugar consumption has been linked to everything from frequent colds to serious diseases like cancer, heart disease, candida, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes. The latter is an insidious form of the disease that threatens to become a worldwide epidemic. In the last 30 years in the United States, for instance, the incidence of type 2 has increased 300%, striking nearly 50% of those over age 65. And there are three ways to control or prevent type 2 diabetes. It's a healthy diet, weight loss, and exercise. I know that that's not very popular. It's about as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. All right, let's take a look now. Are you carb smart? Five tips to manage low carb living. Then we'll start off with soda pop. The soda pop is a pretty important part of the American diet. We can't live without it. To give you an illustration, we Americans consume 1.5 cans of soda pop a day, 365 days a year, and that's every man, woman, and child in the nation. That's the average. That's a lot of soda pop. Now, of course, if you don't drink an average of 1.5 a day, well, then somebody else must be drinking 3 or 6 or 9 or 12 or something else. And over the past 20 years, we've observed that the consumption of soda pop has doubled. And it just so happens that the incidence of diabetes in America has doubled. I think that if we could double the consumption of soda pop over the next 20 years, we could probably double the incidence of diabetes over the next 20 years, don't you? If diabetes is, in fact, the objective, the goal, the purpose for which we consume soda pop, we are well on our way to utopia. Now, is it okay for my kids to drink soda pop with the dinner? That's the question. My 10 and 12-year-old children drink a soda pop with their dinner. Is this okay for them? I don't approve of it, but my husband thinks it's okay. Now, can you guide us? Well, on June 4th, 2001, the answer came, if your children are like most children in the United States, soda pop consumption is one habit that should be stopped. Americans drank 15 billion gallons of soda pop last year, which is twice as much as we consumed back in the 1970s, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, American children between the ages of 12 and 19 consume about a half quart of soda pop a day, or almost a gallon a week. Now, the first concern here is obesity. One in four children today is overweight, and while weight problems are a complicated issue, poor food choices is a major contributor. Children are consuming 8% of their calories from soft drinks, which is an enormous amount of wasted calories. Now, according to a recent study from the Harvard School of Public Health, children's weight problems are directly proportional to how many soft drinks they consume. And then there's the issue of sugar. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, children are averaging about 29 teaspoons of sugar per day. Some children consume up to 40 teaspoons per day, and pop is a big contributor here. For example, did you know that a 12-ounce cola has 10 teaspoons of sugar? An orange soda, that's a 12-ounce can, has 13 teaspoons of soda, or teaspoons of sugar. And Mountain Dew, that's a 12-ounce can, has 12 teaspoons. So, in round numbers, there is 1 teaspoon of sugar in every ounce of soda pop. Think of that now. 1 teaspoon of sugar in every ounce of soda pop. Now, you need to actually spoon this out. You need to get your sugar jar out and take a teaspoon and just spoon out 12 teaspoons into a bowl. And look at that. Now, that's how much sugar you're consuming with each soda pop. Now, it's not uncommon. I used to drink soda pop. I don't touch the stuff anymore. I swore off it. But I used to drink the stuff, and it was not uncommon for me to drink 3 or 4 of those a day, maybe even 6, depending upon summertime and how hot it is. You know, rather than drink water, I'd drink a Pepsi Cola. And so when I was out working on the job and I felt thirsty, I'd go get a Pepsi Cola. If I was working, you know, I'd go open a can of Pepsi Cola. I kind of had one sitting around. It's kind of like having water. You know, you get thirsty every once in a while, so you're drinking soda pop. So in the summertime, it was not uncommon for me to drink six a day, I'm sure, maybe more. And then in the wintertime, I didn't drink very much of it because I drank it primarily as a source of water. I didn't know what I was doing to myself, but when I woke up to it, I said, well, I guess I ought to stop doing this. Now, I had no idea how much sugar was in one of these. I thought maybe there's a teaspoonful in each can. Now, when I would eat my oatmeal in the morning, I would put on 3 or 4 teaspoons of sugar on my bowl of oatmeal. So I figured, well, you know, 3 or 4 teaspoons is reasonable. Now, stop to think now how much sugar you're consuming and how much can your body dispose of? Well, here's the answers. Your body can handle 3 teaspoons of refined sugar in a 24-hour period without any ill effects. It won't cause diabetes. That's 3 teaspoons in 24 hours of refined sugar. Now, you can eat honey, complex carbohydrates created by God Almighty Himself, and you won't overdose on honey. You'll puke. It'll make you sick. You'll get enough of it, and you won't eat anymore, and that's because it's filled with minerals. And the minerals build up in your stomach, and it says, shut that off. I don't want any more. And you can test that for yourself. If you want to see what minerals will do, eat a banana. Now go peel a second banana and eat it. Now go peel a third banana and eat that. If you can eat a fourth banana, I'll buy them for you. The potassium level in bananas is so high that when you eat one, it just about satisfies your need for potassium. By the time you've eaten that second banana, you're through eating potassium, and your body is telling you, no more, no more, that's enough. If you were really hungry for potassium, maybe you could get a third banana down, but I've never seen anybody that could eat 4 bananas. Now, sugar works the same way. When you've got sugar in its natural form and its complex carbohydrates, you eat that sugar, you eat that honey, the minerals reach your stomach and say, that's enough, we got plenty of minerals down here, we're full, shut it off. When you're eating simple carbohydrates, remember, all of the minerals have been stripped away from it. You're eating the straight stuff, I mean, you're mainlining this now. This is a drug. This is no longer a food. There's no nutritional value in it. There's no nutritional value in cocaine. There's no nutritional value in heroin. There's no nutritional value in CNH, pure cane sugar. But there's lots of carbohydrates, and there's lots of shock effect to your sensory perceptions in your body. And so your body perceives this sugar, and boy, it feels good. You'll love it. Go eat a York peppermint patty. You know, go eat a Hershey chocolate bar. You're going to just love it. Unfortunately, what it's doing to the other chemical balances in your body now is going to be kind of shocking to you, because this white sugar, for which you can only digest 3 teaspoons a day, by the time you've consumed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cans of soda pop, you know, you're plugging your body up here with 20, 30, 40, 50 teaspoons of sugar a day, and that's why we have diabetes. So if you want to make sure that you get diabetes, you need to eat more white sugar. It causes tooth decay, and it causes heart trouble and Alzheimer's disease and a number of other diseases as well. But if you want to make sure that you get diabetes, make sure then that your consumption of white sugar is as high as possible. Well, and conversely, if you didn't want diabetes, then my common sense tells me you ought to stay away from refined sugars. Now, you know, God's a pretty smart guy, and He never told you that you couldn't consume all the sugar that makes you feel good. As far as I can tell in the Bible, there's nothing in there tells you thou shalt not eat sugar. But God gave us specific foods, natural, whole foods, like milk, for instance. You don't need to put any sugar in milk. It's got 5% sugar in it, which is natural, complex carbohydrate sugar in your milk. Now, man comes along and says, well, God's product isn't very good. We've got to improve it. So we'll put in more sugar, add some chocolate, and we'll call it chocolate milk. We'll homogenize and pasteurize it so that it'll be an industrial product with a long shelf life of 14 days. That's so that will aid us in selling this product in the marketplace. So we create these industrial products that taste real good, and if they don't taste good after the manufacturing process, we put in MSG or sugar or some other flavoring here to make it taste good. And then what that does to our bodies is that it gives us side effects. You know, these side effects are called disease. We become ill at ease. We don't feel good. We get colds and the flu, and our eyes run, and we sneeze our heads off, and we have all these allergies, and we haven't got a clue as to what causes this, and we go to the doctor, and the doctor hasn't got a clue either. And the doctor's in the business of selling you Cynaid to take care of this allergy, which is caused by this white sugar, which is put into the product so that we can make profit and gain, keep the stock market cooking, and keep the economy running. Now, if that's what you're looking for, is a healthy economy and stocks that continually go up and up like Coca-Cola stock, well, would you please drink more Coca-Cola? Now, I don't own any Coca-Cola stock, and I don't give a damn about Coke, so I'm going to stay away from it because I don't want allergies, and I'm 65, I feel great, and I'm in good health, and I'm going to avoid screwing my body up. I've done enough of that in the past. And if you're like I am, then we need to pay attention to what the sugar does to us. let's go on to the next step. But before we do that, let me tell you a little part of the story so that we can pay for the time that we use here on the internet over the radio. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. All of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the internet right here at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. So this series of programs is put on the archives for your listening convenience. If you can't listen to us when the program is first put up at 8 o'clock Central Time daily, then what you do is you come whenever you've got the time. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and you can flip on to ORG, georgegordon.org, pull it off the archive and listen to it at your convenience. That's the purpose of it. That's how that works. All right. Now let me tell you another little story here. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was about 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. But today, that food supply is down to less than 38 days. Now, the global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, as I call them, plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by about 90% over the next 50 years. And that's put out by the Club of Rome. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing. He used a little different words, but he told us the same thing. He said, false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, back in 1920, about 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and you and me. Today, we Americans have chosen to live in the city. And now only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of us are no longer self-sufficient then in our food production. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, all right, and then we import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists with the genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause. And then let you and I live for hours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours today, right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click on the email machine. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, let's get back to sugar. Keeping in mind now that can of soda pop that you've got has 1 teaspoon of sugar in each ounce. And every time children reach for a soda pop, they miss the opportunity to eat fruits, vegetables, whole grains, milk, and other foods that reduce their risk for developing heart disease, cancer, diabetes, stroke, and obesity later in life. And one study from Tulane University in New Orleans found that children who ate lots of sugar consumed significantly lower amounts of protein. Therefore, they're missing vitamin E, B vitamins, iron, and zinc. So consuming sugar will be undermining these children's health today and in the future. Now, another big concern is how soda pop influences our children's bones and teeth. 2 or 3 decades ago, our children drank twice as much milk as soft drinks. But by the mid-1990s, that statistic had reversed. Our children now are drinking twice as much soft drinks as they drink milk. Now, only 1 in every 5 children meet even minimum standards for calcium consumption. You see, soda pop has 0 nutrients. It has a lot of carbohydrate. It has a lot of calories, but it has no nutrients. Now, poor calcium intake in children increases the risk for bone fractures during the teen years and osteoporosis later in life. Finally, the acidity of some soda pop can wear away the enamel of your teeth, increasing susceptibility to decay. Now, how do you get your children to cut back on soda pop? Well, this is an easy one if you're talking about little children. And the sooner that you establish healthy eating habits, the healthier and the easier it's going to be to maintain them as that child grows older. So don't bring pop into your house. Well, that's easy enough to do. Don't bring cocaine into your house. Do not bring heroin into your house. Do not bring soda pop into your house. That's easy enough. That makes sense. If all your child has to choose from is orange juice, milk, and water, then sugar and pop will be a moot issue, won't it? Now, why don't you set aside special occasions when a soda pop is okay, like at a baseball game or a party, but not as a daily routine? never serve pop with meals. And when ordering in fast food restaurants, allow only milk or orange juice as the beverage. And then model the behavior that you want your child to develop. You cannot expect your child to want milk if you're drinking Coca-Cola. And that's simple enough. You have to set a proper example if you want your children to follow it. Now let's see what else is going on here in the soft drink area. Soft drinks by the numbers. Take a look here at consumption of soft drinks. In 2000, Americans spent $60 billion on carbonated soft drinks and billions more on non-carbonated fruit beverages. During the same year, the average American consumed more than 53 gallons of soft drinks. Now, if you're an average American, last year you drank 53 gallons of soft drinks. One of every four beverages consumed in America today is a soft drink. 25% of all beverages served in the United States are soft drinks. And that comes from the soft drink marketers in 174 countries worldwide, documented beverage marketing, a press release in June 15, 2001. In North America, the average consumer enjoys at least one serving of our Coca-Cola products every day. That source is the Coca-Cola Company's 2000 annual report. In North America, the average consumer enjoys at least one serving of our Coca-Cola product every day. Now, North American consumption averages 48 gallons per person per year, representing more than 44% of total world soft drink sales. Europe represented 31% with a per capita average of 12.7 gallons per year. The fastest growth in soft drink consumption is in Asia and South America. These source calculations are based on the soft drink markets in 174 countries worldwide, documented beverage marketing press release. Now, during the 1950s, the typical soft drink order at a fast food restaurant contained 8 ounces of soda. Today, a child order of Coke at McDonald's is 12 ounces, and a large Coke is 32 ounces and about 310 calories. And let me repeat that so that you can follow along. During the late 1950s, when you went to a fast food restaurant and ordered a Coke, you contained 8 ounces of soda. Today, a child order of Coke at McDonald's is 12 ounces. A large Coke is 32 ounces. Now, 32 ounces is a quart. So you're going to drink a quart of Coke with your Big Mac and fries. So during the late 50s, then, we were consuming approximately one-fourth the amount of soda pop that we are today. And surprisingly, we had about three-fourths less diabetes than we have today. So what we see here in the consumption of soda pop and the incidence of diabetes follow hand in glove. That's called anecdotal evidence, rejected by everybody. Well, everybody except those that can add and subtract. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to put two and two together. And while this isn't a double-blind study conducted by the Mayo Clinic, you know, common sense tells you, gee, if soda pop consumption has gone up by 100% in 20 years and diabetes has gone up 100% in 20 years, is that just a coincidence or is there a cause and effect relationship there? Well, even if it's anecdotal, don't you think somebody ought to look into it and cause it or create a couple of studies? Ask a few questions, like take people that don't drink soda pop at all and test and see how many of those have diabetes. I'm sure there's going to be some. Then take a look at the number of people who drink soda pop in various quantities and then chart diabetes right along with them, and I think you'll be able to prove it. Now, globally, carbonated soft drinks are the third most consumed beverage. The per capita annual consumption of carbonated soft drinks, 7.7 gallons, is nearly four times the per capita consumption of fruit vegetables, which is 2.1 gallons. So we prefer Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, to orange juice or apple juice or prune juice. I'm not quite sure why. Because you see, these natural fruit juices contain complex carbohydrates. You can drink all of the natural orange juice, prune juice, apple juice that you want to drink. You know, God did not deprive you of sugar. You can have all the sugar that your body can consume, and it will not cause diabetes as long as it's natural. Not just special? Think about that. When God created honey, he did so for your benefit. And you can't overdose on the stuff. You can only puke. I've never seen anybody puke drinking Coca-Cola. I mean, you can drink that stuff and drink that stuff and drink that stuff. That's that simple, simple sugar. And that simple sugar just goes right straight into your bloodstream. And boy, does it make you feel good. You'll love it. It's just like heroin, you know, just like nicotine. Makes you feel great. You'll love it. If you don't smoke, try it. You'll love it. People that smoke don't smoke because it doesn't feel good. People don't go down to Flo's Whorehouse because it feels bad. People aren't drinking Coca-Cola because it doesn't taste good. Of course it tastes good. Of course you're going to like it. Heroin's wonderful. Everybody loves it. Unfortunately, after you get hooked on it, you can't get rid of it, and it causes bad health and ultimately death. So it's a choice that we have to make, isn't it? And you either make right choices or wrong choices, and it's up to you to make the choice. I'm not here to tell you what to choose. I'm just here to give you information so that you can make a more balanced and informed choice. So we prefer Coca-Cola to orange juice. But why is that? Well, because we put Coca-Cola in the refrigerator with the orange juice, and we prefer Coca-Cola to orange juice. But if you put orange juice, prune juice, and apple juice in the refrigerator, and then you say, choose, well, people will choose what they like. And they'll be consuming complex carbohydrates instead of simple, and they won't have the health problems that come from it. And instead of using sugar, why don't you use honey in your baking and in your cooking, and you'll find that you won't have anywhere near the problem with disease, allergies, and the side effects that come from sugar. And you know, before we invented white sugar, we were healthier people. Before we came up with white flour, we were healthier people. Now, I can tell you that Krispy Kreme and Winchell donuts taste great. God, if there's anything better than a Krispy Kreme, God kept it for himself. But just because it tastes good doesn't mean that it's good for you. So that's a choice that you have to make, isn't it? Soft drinks are the best-selling product in American grocery stores, $11.7 billion in sales annually. 25 years ago, teenagers drank almost twice as much milk as soda pop. Today, they drink twice as much soda pop as milk. Now, I'm not sure that that's all bad because the milk that they're drinking is pasteurized and homogenized, and that's a killer. That's another story for another day. Go to the archives and pull out milk, or the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized. I've done a series of programs on milk and exposed that crap for what it is. Now, when God designed milk, it wasn't pasteurized. When it comes out of the cow, it isn't pasteurized. When it comes out of your mother's breast, it isn't pasteurized. When you pasteurize milk, you have to heat it. When you do, you heat it above 132 degrees, and when you heat it, it kills the enzymes. You kill the enzymes, you can't digest it, so you can't get the nutrients, can't get the vitamins and minerals out of it. Yes, it's true. Milk is filled with calcium. But you can drink all the milk in America, and you can't get any calcium out of it because the enzyme's dead. So pasteurized milk, while it's filled with calcium, is totally, well, not quite totally, but almost totally, unavailable for your body to use. Now, try raw milk, and all the calcium is available for your body to use. Quite a little story right there. But now we have exchanged milk for soda pop. The soda pop has no nutritional value. The milk has some nutritional value. Some versus nothing. Coca-Cola and other soft drink makers spend enormous sums to promote their products. And over the past decade in the United States, for instance, soft drink companies have spent $6 billion in advertising. So we're spending $6 billion to advertise foodless food. To give you an illustration, the advertising for carbonated soft drinks in the year 2000. Coca-Cola Classic and Diet Coke, $204 million. Pepsi, $132 million. Dr. Pepper, $107 million. Mountain Dew, $57 million. 7-Up, $45 million. Pepsi One, $37 million. Sprite, Coca-Cola Company, $34 million, so on. In 1999, Coca-Cola spent $511 million on promotional activities on top of $355 million in advertising. The same year, Coca-Cola spent $1.6 billion on marketing worldwide. And despite all of the money being spent on advertising, Coca-Cola's profits dove from $4.1 million in 1997 to $2.17 billion in 2000. And Chairman and CEO of Coca-Cola, Douglas Daft, who made $92 million in total compensation last year, promised an aggressive advertising campaign to increase consumption and profits. Coca-Cola has signed up Christina Aguilera, Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers, Disney characters, Cal Ripken, and Harry Potter to promote Coca-Cola company products. So the Coca-Cola people want to sell more of this foodless food so that they can make more and more profit. Well, gosh, shouldn't you be selling this because it promotes health and nutrition? I mean, isn't that the purpose for food? Or did I miss something? I thought the purpose for food was nutrition. I guess the purpose for food is to satiate your appetite and taste buds. Is that what that's all about? And we do that. We eat French fries and we eat Big Macs and we wash it down with Coca-Cola. So God told us not to eat any fat. So our hamburgers got 32% fat. Then we eat the French fries. The French fries are cooked in the same fat. Then we wash it down with simple carbohydrates in the form of Coca-Cola and wonder why we're sick. I mean, come on, guys. Let's grow up and get real. Now, convenience is a very important thing to the average American. We want things delivered like pizza, to our door. We don't want to cook ourselves. We want to eat out at the restaurant. Well, okay. There's a price that you have to pay. Don't forget the price that you have to pay. Well, let's see what else is going on here. Sugar. The average 12-ounce can of soda pop contains 40 grams of refined sugar. That's 10 teaspoons of pure calories. Would you ever eat 10 teaspoons of sugar at once? Diets high in refined sugars can promote obesity, which increases the risks of diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, and heart disease. Sugary soft drinks also promote tooth decay. The high sugar content is a major reason why health professionals are concerned about frequent consumption of soft drinks. You know, if I was a health professional, I would not be at all concerned about the high consumption. I would be promoting it. I mean, my God, if I was a dentist, I would put a Coke machine in my dental office. I would say, why don't you drink more Coke? Coca-Cola promotes dental caries. I make my living filling teeth. The more teeth that I can fill, the more holes that I can plug up, the more money that I can make. My business is to promote dental caries. I want tooth decay. Come on, guys, let's grow up and get smart. Any dentist that tells you, watch your sugar, what in the hell is he telling you? Does that mean that I'm supposed to put on my glasses so that I can watch the sugar that I'm putting on my cereal? Or should I be looking at the Coca-Cola that I'm drinking so that I can see how much sugar I'm consuming? What do you mean, watch your sugar? He's just giving you lip service. He wants you to drink more and more of that sugar, eat more and more of that sugar, so that you'll have more and more caries, dental caries, so that he can fill more and more holes and make more and more money. Same thing is true with the doctors. Now, while they're not actively telling you the truth, eat more sugar, drink more Coke, they're not opposed to that. Now, there's probably a few evangelists out there that are concerned about it, and I'm not concerned. I'm not trying to get you people to quit drinking Coke. If you want to drink Coke, go drink it. You want to eat fat at McDonald's, be my guest. Only me getting your way. The thing that I object to is that we're only seeing one side of the coin. I think that you have a right to see both sides of the coin so that you can make an intelligent decision. You'll probably continue to make the wrong decision, but then your blood is on your own head, isn't it? I mean, if I told you that this container over here has arsenic in it and this container over here doesn't have any arsenic, that arsenic really tastes good, though. What if I said, here's a container and it's got arsenic in it, but I didn't tell you? Oh, I think I should tell you that this is bad for you. This has got arsenic in it. But I'm not going to tell you which one to drink. Arsenic kills you pretty rapidly. This one over here doesn't have any arsenic in it, and it's probably better for you. I think that Americans drinking Coca-Cola with arsenic would be preferable to drinking milk that's raw. I think the average American would rather drink Coca-Cola. Well, we know they do because, you know, aspartame, which we've been talking about here this week, aspartame is a deadly toxic poison, and people prefer Diet Coke to milk. So there you are, and that's a choice that you have to make. And I'm not telling you people anything that you haven't already heard. Now, if you want to take a little comparison here, the U.S. Department of Agriculture recommends that a person who consumes a 2,000-calorie diet should not consume more than 40 grams of refined sugar per day. Carbonated drinks are the single biggest source of refined sugars in the American diet. Teens just about hit their recommended sugar limits from soft drinks alone. With candy, cookies, cake, ice cream, and other sugary foods, most exceed those recommendations by a very wide margin. Now, some of the most important reports on the effects of soft drinks and sugar on health and nutrition are listed below. So, the Shanti Bowman Diets of Individuals based on energy intakes from added sugars. That comes from Family Economics and Nutrition Review. I mean, I could sit here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 books here that are recommended reading. Let me go back here to the original website here, can I? See if I can find it. And let's see if we can steer you on to, this came from the webpage. It's called www.saveharry.com. www.saveharry.com. And it's soft drinks by the numbers. And it gives you the statistical analysis that I'm covering with you right here. This is the statistical analysis. So you can get it for yourself. You don't have to rely upon me or believe what I'm telling you if you're interested. Those are the books that will tell you more about what it is, about soda pop and the calories that you're consuming and the nutritional deficiencies that we're suffering from. Let's take a look at caffeine. Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and many other popular soft drinks contain caffeine. Caffeine is a mildly addictive stimulant drug that will keep consumers coming back for more. Now, let me repeat that. Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and many other popular soft drinks contain caffeine. Caffeine is a mildly addictive stimulant drug that will keep consumers coming back for more. Now, Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it. That was so that we could addict you to cocaine. Now, they took that out around the turn of the century. They took it out because it was a drug. It was addictive. It was bad for you. And for that reason, we needed to protect the public. And so Coca-Cola is still called Coke. We still call cocaine Coke. But we took the Coke out of the Coca-Cola and we replaced it with caffeine, just like we have nicotine in cigarettes. The cigarette is the vehicle by which we ingest the narcotic, the drug, the nicotine, because it makes us feel good. We're doing the same thing with sugar. Sugar is a drug. The Coca-Cola is the vehicle by which you ingest this drug. We're a nation of drug addicts. We take these drugs because they make us feel good. Drug addicts have bad health. Americans have bad health because Americans are druggies. Now, some people are addicted to drugs like cocaine and heroin. Other people are addicted to drugs like aspartame, which is addictive, and white sugar. Now, here's another one, Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew has a special addictive component to it, and people that get onto Mountain Dew can't get off of it. In fact, they say it's harder to get off of Mountain Dew than it is to get off of heroin. It's harder to quit smoking cigarettes. It's harder to get off of nicotine than it is to get off of heroin. Now, that's what the experts tell us. So the stuff isn't good for you. It's hard to get to kick the habit. And the purpose for putting these drugs into these products is to keep you coming back and buying more. It makes you feel good. You'll love it. It tastes good. Feels good. But it kills. And that's the point. It kills. All right, we're just about out of time. Let me give you a reminder here. The Law Hour is heard 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday. Actually, it's now being heard as of June 1st, which these programs are being made for. Beginning June 1st, the Law Hour will be heard live 7 days a week on the Internet at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And remember, the Law Hour is brought to you by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information on the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, just go to my website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, nonprofit, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement only. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. Well, there's the signal that says my time is up, so we'll have to leave it right there. I'll see you back here next time, same station, God willing. So until then, goodbye, friends.